snowdrops used to be called Candlemas bells. How many people knew that? I didn't know that. I used to take snowdrops on Candlemas to decorate the church. There we go. So if you know nothing else today, you've learned a new, very important fact. So the film showed a depiction of the reading that was Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. And we met the time when Mary and Joseph were taking Jesus to the temple to fulfill the rites that the Jewish law demanded. And we met this guy called Simeon, who doesn't get another feature in the Bible story. And there's three things we're going to pick up from Simeon and how he approached things. First, that Simeon had a promise from God. Second was, he was guided by the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, he recognized the baby as the anointed one, the Messiah of God. So we look at those three things, not necessarily in that particular order. So the first around promises. God promised to Simeon he wouldn't die until he'd seen the consolation of Israel, the one who would deliver Israel once again. And God's promise to Simeon was fulfilled. It came true. So how do you think God's promises today differ from promises we might make? You can trust them. Anything else? So you need to wake up for this bit. Think and join in.
He always keeps his promises.
Whereas we, even though we have the best intentions, don't always manage to do that, do we? Because God is the Alpha and the Omega. He was and is and always will be. He's ever faithful and keeps his promises to us. So let's just think for a bit around some of the promises God has made in the Bible. So, there should be a picture coming. There we go. Here's a clue. I'll give you a clue. This starts right back near the beginning.
Ark of the Covenant.
Not quite.
No more floods.
No more floods. This is the promise after Noah and all that. And God said he wouldn't flood the whole earth again. And as a mark of that covenant, he gave a rainbow. And God has not yet flooded all the earth. So he's doing right with that one. But this is a promise to all people, wasn't it? All people. Whereas other promises are made to individuals. Can we have our next clue, please?
Abraham.
Well done. This is, because you can see we're starting right in the middle. This is just Genesis chapter 12 or 15, I think. So we're starting early. Don't worry, we're not going to go through all the books of the Bible. So God promised Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations, who will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the shore. So that was a specific comment to Abraham. And of course, that didn't come true in Abraham's lifetime. Abraham himself didn't in his lifetime live to see the fulfillment of that promise that his descendants would be as numerous as that, maybe. Okay. Next one. Now, I went to see this at the Belgrade on Tuesday. It was really good. Joseph had a dream. He said, the great big sheaf will stand and all your sheaves will bow to me and the sun and moon will bow to me. And of course, this was fulfilled during the story of Joseph, wasn't it? Although not straight away. So again, there's a long delay, many years before this kind of promise to Joseph was fulfilled, and that he was sent into slavery by his brothers and was in a servant household for Potiphar in Egypt, and then was falsely accused and put into prison and languished in prison for several years until the cupbearer remembered he could interpret, or through him God interpreted dreams, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and then became second in command of all of Egypt. And so when his brothers went back down to Egypt, they did indeed bow down before him. And the next one, please.
Lifespan.
Could be that. That wasn't it, but it could be that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of all of that. So that was exile and the temple being destroyed. So this was when the Babylonians took over the kingdom of Judah and the people exiled to Babylon. The promise was made it will be for 70 years and then I will get you to return. And 70 years later, God inspired Cyrus, the new king of Persia, to allow the Jews to go back and start rebuilding Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple. So that's a promise again to all of God's people. So God makes lots of promises. I know these are all... I think, is that it? Got one more. Oh, I've got one more. I'll give you a clue. This is a New Testament one.
The birth of Jesus.
The birth of... just before the birth of Jesus. Well done, Gwen. This is Gabriel standing before Mary, promising Mary that she would bear God's son and call him Jesus. There we go. So a brief trip through. So that was Simeon. He had a promise made by God that was fulfilled and came true. What promises are there that God has made to us or for us? And how much do we keep them in mind, or how much are we aware of them? I googled promises of God, and the first hit went to a place with 50, mainly passages from Scripture. The second hit went to another page with 50. They weren't the same 50. So there's quite a few. So what kind of things are we aware of God has promised us? He will be with us. Jesus will come again. So in Matthew's Gospel, he says, remember, I'm with you to the end of the age. Yes. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
If you honour your parents, you have a long life.
If you honour your parents, that's right. That's one of the commandments, isn't it? Honour your mother and father, and we'll do that. God is with us. Any more? Come on. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Well done, Faith. No. Promises that God makes, has made to us. There's loads and loads and loads if you think about it. Paul writes in Romans, doesn't he? There is nothing that separates us from the love of God. I'm convinced that no power of hell and no anything, high mountain, low sea, can ever separate us from the love of God. A promise that means that no matter, there's nothing we can do that makes God love us any more, and there's nothing we can do that makes God love us any less. Because God is faithful and true, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. And how often do we forget that? Draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. So even when things go bad, even when things aren't good at all, God doesn't desert us. God is there with us. And again, that's when there's stress and trouble and angst, that's so easily forgotten. So the challenge for us, at least one of the challenges for us, is to keep reminding ourselves of God's promises for us. God's not going to change them. God's going to keep his promises. They will always love us with a love that we can't measure. They will always be with us. More of that later, I think. So we're going to sing. Because God is faithful, we're going to sing Faithful One. Let's stand.
again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone.
Please take your seats. So as we saw and heard on the video, Simeon was in the temple complex when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus, and he recognized the baby as God's anointed one, the Messiah. And he said the words that we may know as a Nunc Dimittis, but words that are somewhat famous. Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. God, your promise to me has been fulfilled. I have seen the Messiah as you promised me. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. But of course, the words that Simeon spoke weren't talking of a Messiah that the Jews were expecting. The Jews in their history have been delivered from Egypt in slavery. They've been delivered from exile back to the promised land, and they were expecting their God to deliver them once more from the oppressors that ruled over at that time, the Roman Empire. And they were expecting another military victory, another leader that will give them freedom from oppressors and re-establish the kingdom of David. But of course, Simeon was not talking about a military leader, a military victory. Words he used went on to describe how Jesus will be the rising and falling of many in Israel. There will be suffering associated with his mission, especially for his mother. A sword will pierce your heart too. And most outrageously for those Hebrew people, he promised salvation for all people, for Gentiles. A light revealed not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile. They recognize Jesus as the anointed one, the Messiah of the world. Something that will turn Jewish expectation completely upside down. And Simeon wasn't to know, but of course we know, that Jesus went on to minister, to teach, to perform miracles, to demonstrate the kingdom of God, to talk about the kingdom of God, and ultimately to tread that path to the cross and hang there for each of us, carrying our burden, carrying our sin onto the cross, paying the price and rising again in glory so that we can know and be known by God and have the promise of eternal life in him. We have the privilege, don't we, of reading the Gospels. That's what the Gospels are, the good news. The good news of God, because he loves us so much, sending the Son of God to earth to set us free, to give us hope, to allow us to live a life of love, to help us think more of others than ourselves. And through the Gospel and through prayer and through tradition and through experience and through conversations with others, each of us have been on the journey of coming to our own recognition of who Jesus is, because Jesus still is, and Jesus is still with us, as we said earlier. We've all come on a different journey. We've had different people help us on the way. And we've all got our own story to tell. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for how unique our story is and how powerful our own individual stories are to those who wish to hear. We all have a story of how we've come to recognize Jesus and how much difference he's made in our lives. For some of us, maybe we are still on that journey. We're still coming to the point of recognizing Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. We may be still asking questions. And if you are, then please speak to me or any of the others leading the service afterwards to help you on that journey. I'm not going to necessarily give you all the answers in one go, but just helps that journey on. So what's the challenge for us? Having recognized Jesus as the Son of God, as the Lord of our lives, the challenge is how to live lives in response to that, isn't it? The daily challenge of discipleship, of trying to follow. It helps to rest on the promises Jesus has given us, to know that nothing can separate us from his love, that he is always with us. But the challenge is how do we better show love to one another? How do we better show love to those we may not know that we encounter in our daily lives? How much better should we be reaching out to the have-nots, to those on the margins, to show compassion and care and do the little that we can do to help give them some relief? Fortunately, it's not just up to us. Because Jesus is with us, we are not alone. And we are powered by his Spirit to help us see the need, give us hearts to meet the need, and hearts to go out in love to our fellow human. We just pray, Lord, that you inspire us, you encourage us, and you help us to be better servants of you. Amen. So in part of a recognition of Jesus, the Son of God, we're going to sing, Jesus, my Lord, my heavenly Saviour. Stand to sing.